Sunday night's main event is brought to you by Vape Nation, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. For locations, visit vapenationcanada.com.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Jericho challenges Okada. UFC says goodbye to Lesnar and rematches Cormier versus Stipe. And who's next to take the blood money? Yeah. That's going to be Bill Goldberg. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio, your weekly wrestling radio roundup on the air with the help of Vape Nation, taking your vape shop experience to the next level. Visit vapenationcanada.com for locations. My name is Jason Agnew, joined live in studio this week by my regular mid-card comedy partner, the man who coined the phrase Dean Ambrose. Mark Andrada. So, Mark, is it John Moxley now? Is that what we're doing?
No, Jay. John Moxley is a different thing altogether. If Dean Ambrose is to not work with somebody because you don't like their dumb ideas, John Moxley is to leave a place where they won't let you do your dumb ideas so that you can do your dumb ideas elsewhere.
Okay, we'll get into that in our first segment tonight. Along with that on the show, Dave Meltzer, Turnbuckle Trivia, a chat with our All Elite Weekly podcast correspondent, Joe Aguinaldo, and your feedback is all coming at you in the next 2 hours. But first things first, let's get you set up with a week in pro wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, if you thought the Dean Ambrose John Moxley video was going to be the only wrestling video to go viral this week, you were wrong, because Friday night, Chris Jericho jumped into the New Japan mix once again. Jericho appeared via video at New Japan's Duntaku event in Fukuoka. The video was played following Okada's successful title defense against Sanada. Now, Jericho challenged Okada for the Dominion show, which will take place June 9th at Osaka Joe Hall.
WWE officially announced this week that they are headed back to Saudi Arabia, and the event date will be June 7th. The show will air live on the WWE Network, and 8 guys have been advertised for the show, including Roman Reigns, The Undertaker, Kofi Kingston, Braun Strowman, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar, and Bill Goldberg.
Yep.
Some see this as a way of WWE securing Goldberg so he doesn't find his way onto AEW television. This led to some WWE stars expressing their displeasure with Goldberg's rumored paycheck for the evening, including Rusev and Randy Orton.
I'm just curious if that is going to be set up into an angle, because Goldberg ended up responding to Randy Orton, so I'm wondering if somehow they're pairing these two off, but I have no interest in Goldberg and Randy Orton.
I don't want to see them fight over Goldberg's paycheck. That's not something that's interesting to me.
Probably not, no. Continuing on here, as mentioned, Brock Lesnar is on the Saudi Arabia card, which is no real surprise. But what may be surprising is the statement made by Dana White saying Lesnar is retired from the UFC. The story behind this is Brock was in negotiations for a fight versus Daniel Cormier, but since UFC has now signed a deal with ESPN for their pay-per-view distribution, fighters can no longer rely on pay-per-view bonuses depending on buys. So Lesnar, of course, being a smart negotiator, knew this and gave a very large number that he wanted for the fight, which the UFC was not willing to pay. So as of right now, according to Dana White, Brock is retired. And because of that, just yesterday, UFC moved on from Lesnar and announced that Daniel Cormier will face Stipe Miocic on the August UFC 241 card in Anaheim, California. Mark, I think that's it for Lesnar and UFC.
Yeah, not as exciting.
No,
for me anyway.
Not. Me neither.
Along with the Saudi Arabia announcement, there was also some confirmation on the WWE schedule reported on last week. The Tacoma Dome will be hosting the Stomping Grounds pay-per-view on June 23rd. This is the show that will be replacing Backlash, which was originally scheduled for June 16th. The NXT TakeOver show that was scheduled for June 7th is now on June 1st, and it will emanate from the Webster Bank Arena in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And yes, we will be doing a post-show for that NXT show featuring Bartender Dave.
You got it, live from my basement once again with Bartender Dave. Last week, all the talk was about how the WWE stock fell. This week, it's the WWE TV ratings that took a big hit. Raw this week set yet another all-time modern low outside of football season with 2.16 million viewers. The only episodes this year with lower ratings were New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve. Yikes. This is also a 9% drop from the record non-football season low of 2.37 million viewers that was set just last week. Now, this week's SmackDown episode averaged 1.8 million viewers, the lowest number for the show since the 2016 brand split, and it's moved to airing live on Tuesday nights. To give some perspective, Mark, this show was down 12% from last week and almost 25% from the same week in 2018, a 25% drop in 1 year.
Well, I'll say this. I didn't watch it until you asked me to do this show.
Yeah, you have to watch in order to do this show. Yeah, it's a tough go.
You did it to me on purpose. There's lots of rumors flying around about WWE contracts this week, so let's put some clarity to them. There was a report from Fightful.com that the Revival turned down a 5-year contract worth over $500,000 a year each. That's $1 million, Jason.
There you go.
This report is apparently accurate. And you know what happens when you turn down a $1 million contract?
What's that?
You get your back shaved on TV.
Yeah, that's what happens. That could be the start of some great vignettes for the Revival. Now, the other contract rumor going around is all about Leo Rush. And actually, it seems every time I click refresh on my browser, there's some new story about him. From issues in the WWE locker room to being removed from TV or sent home. And also turning down some sort of contract as well, around the $300,000 range per year. Clearly, where there's smoke, there's fire, but rather than fan the flames, we're going to check in with Dave Meltzer about what the current state of Leo Rush is in our second hour tonight.
As mentioned in the top story, Dean Ambrose, or should I say John Moxley, or should I say Mox, caused some waves this week on the web when he released a video promoting the return of the John Moxley character. The video featured the former Ambrose, now Mox, breaking out of a prison, grabbing some barbed wire, and according to many wrestling fans with too much time on their hands, there's a series of clues that would lead people to believe that he'll be at Double or Nothing on the 25th. We'll talk about him more later in the show, but I'm one of those fans that thinks he might show up.
Yeah? Think he's going to be there?
Sure, why not?
I'm wondering why do it now and not do it at TV, but
he can buy a ticket just like anybody else, Jason.
Yeah, that can, like Sable in the front row at Nitro that one time. She just popped in. Wow, it's got good. Yeah, and that was before StubHub.
Popped in is not the way you want to say that.
As we reported, Alexander Wolf made his debut at the NXT UK taping. It's now also been confirmed that Killian Dane will be moving to the American version of NXT. At present, both Eric Young and Nikki Cross are supposed to be part of the Raw roster, but neither have appeared since being shook up. And since we've recently seen WWE trying to keep couples together, that should mean Cross, who's married to Dane, may also be returning to the NXT roster. That's purely my speculation. It's weird to do it in the news pack, but we can now officially say, Mark, there is no sanity in WWE.
How appropriate. After vacating the tag titles on Tuesday Night SmackDown, Jeff Hardy underwent major surgery on his right knee. He looks to be out for 6 to 9 months. Yesterday, WWE stated that Shane McMahon will crown new tag team champions on Tuesday night. And you can bet with a tag division that is currently composed of Rusev and Nakamura, the B-Team, Heavy Machinery, and the Colons, we're in for some pretty fierce competition ahead.
Maybe Los Matadors are back.
Oh my gosh.
The Colons throw the masks back on.
Oh no.
Speaking of SmackDown, Daniel Bryan has been cleared to return to WWE TV. However, for those of you interested in the reason why he was off TV, his injury is officially being reported as unlisted. And as far as Daniel Bryan goes, he was also on the new Jimmy Jacobs podcast called Jimmy Jacobs Doesn't Know. The podcast debuted this week, and Bryan was the first guest. Considering the way Jimmy Jacobs left the company, I'm sure WWE was thrilled with that. I can't think that they gave permission for this.
I was really hoping Daniel Bryan would post a selfie with Jimmy Jacobs on Instagram.
Oh, so good if he did.
Good grief. Kurt Angle told Wrestling Inc. that he signed a 5-year deal with WWE. Angle said he'll be working as a producer and might make some non-wrestling appearances on WWE TV if they need him for that kind of stuff.
Maybe he'll get his revenge on Lars Sullivan at some point.
Probably not.
Baron Corbin. For those of you like me that watched Impact Wrestling Rebellion last weekend, you may have noticed that Brian Cage was definitely hurt during his match with Johnny Impact. Now, the injury happened when he took a Spanish fly from the ramp to the floor. Cage managed to finish the match and win the title, but he was taken to hospital that night. The next day, he revealed on Busted Open Radio that he suffered severe back inflammation and a bone bruise. There's a chance he has a minor cracked bone, but nothing major, and he hopes to return to the ring shortly.
Continuing on with Impact Wrestling, the company officially launched their Impact Plus subscription service this past week, which is a revamped version of the Global Wrestling Network. Impact's four major annual pay-per-views will be available to purchase on Impact Plus. Those who buy the pay-per-views on the service will receive 3 months of free access to Impact Plus with every purchase. So essentially, you buy the four pay-per-views and you get the whole year for free.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, the rebrand is long overdue, considering it was called the Global Wrestling Network, and that's kind of the Jeff Jarrett brand that they still had stuck on there with Global Wrestling,
oh,
right?
Is he not free to keep running that?
Yeah, well, I think he's doing some stuff now with another company.
Let's ask Meltzer about it.
Okay. in case you're interested in Impact, RVD returned to Impact this week and started a program with Ethan Page. This is perfect timing for the company as they just did TV tapings at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, in which RVD engaged in a match with Tommy Dreamer. And yeah, get ready for Sabu, get ready for Sandman. And the combined age just with RVD and Tommy Dreamer themselves is 96 years young, Mark. That's what I want to see in my wrestling.
Hey, I got nothing.
All right, continue on.
Sorry. After winning the title at last weekend's Crockett Cup, Colt Cabana's first defense of the NWA National Championship will take place at this month's ROH television tapings. Cabana versus James Storm for the national title is set for Sunday, May 12th. The show is the final night of ROH's War of the Worlds tour, which, for you local fans, you can catch here in Toronto this Thursday night at the spectacular Ted Reeve Arena.
Oh yeah, it's a real treat. Just be thankful that it's in the spring and not in the middle of the summer. Because there was one time, were you at the event where the garbage strike was happening?
Yes, and that was one of the funniest moments I've seen in wrestling.
Why?
When Colt Cabana came to the ring with two garbage bags from Outback,
ridiculous.
And he hit whoever he was fighting against, and the entire crowd just chanted, "Garbage strike, garbage strike."
To anyone watching, whether it be like on DVD or whether it was being broadcast at that point, would have no idea what was going on.
Oh, but it still works, because he's hitting him with garbage.
Yes.
Therefore,
a garbage strike. Right, of course it is. One final note here. Joey Ryan announced this past week that he is having a farewell to the Indies tour. And I guess word is out now. Am I signing somewhere, he said? Have I already signed somewhere? One thing is certain, my time on the Indies is coming to an end. So pick up this farewell tour shirt for a limited time only. Always the promoter, Joey Ryan, clearly headed somewhere. I don't feel his gimmick would work in WWE. What do you think, Mark?
They might have to change it a little bit. Well, they'd have to change his that one move.
Yes.
But I think the gimmick itself could work.
Oof,
you know, like sort of like a new version of Val Venus or Rick Rude.
No, we have a new Rick Rude.
I don't know that we do.
His name is Bobby?
Nope.
Robert?
Thank you.
Okay. Let's take a break and come on back and we'll talk more about wrestling and less about mustaches. When we return, we'll dive into the Mox, the Ambrose, the Moxley, whatever it is. Mark will give us his new theory on what being Moxley'd mean. Is that it?
To get moxed.
We'll talk about that when we come back. But before we go to break here, I do want to let you guys know about the new Patreon contest. That is happening. So this is Patreon exclusive. You got to be a patron if you want to be a part of it. And it's to meet The Undertaker. Yeah, there's the sound of the gong. And you're going to hear that sound of the gong each week for the next 3 weeks. And then you guys get to play the before and after game, which we're actually going to be doing tonight in Turnbuckle Trivia. So I will give you a before and after riddle each week for the next 3 weeks in the Patreon broadcast of Sunday night's main event. Then, so that's going to be on May 12th, May 19th, and May 26th. Then, after those three, if you want to play this game and you're a patron, you have to send me those three answers in a Patreon message, and I'll be doing a draw, and one lucky person will be winning, get this, two VIP passes to the Niagara Falls Comic Con. You'll also get your picture with The Undertaker, and you'll get a hotel night in Niagara Falls on us. This is a $1,000 value that you are winning. It is this year's Niagara Falls Comic-Con contest. And by the way, this is all happening this month because the Niagara Falls Comic-Con is happening the week of June 7th to 9th. So think about that. The Undertaker is essentially leaving Saudi Arabia, getting on a plane, and pretty much going right to Niagara Falls for this Comic-Con. So you can see a very groggy and tired Undertaker and get your picture taken with him. If you're not a patron yet, by all means, sign up and you can qualify for our Undertaker contest right here on Sunday night's main event. It all begins on next week's show when you'll be playing the before and after game. And if you want a sample of it, it's going to come up next hour when we play Turnbuckle Trivia. Right now, though, taking a break, coming back, tons more. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mud. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
This soundtrack, it's a lot better when you have visuals associated with it, but whether it's the dogs chasing him or the barbed wire or staring at the wall that he walked by, Mark, with the dangling dice that people are think is another Easter egg, this is the audio of the Dean Ambrose / John Moxley video that was released this week that took the internet wrestling community, dare I call it that, by storm, and it seemed everyone was paying attention to this. It's more hype than Dean Ambrose has had in I don't know how long.
First of all, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. I could listen to this song all afternoon. This is what I like. This is like, I'm going to listen to this all week for sure.
At one point, I thought Scott Steiner was coming in due to the police sirens that were happening.
Or Cesaro?
True, could be that as well. Let's just read into a whole bunch of things that aren't here. What did you take out of this Dean Ambrose video?
Here's the thing. I'm excited about this guy. Is that okay to say?
It's definitely not your character to what we've seen out of you before.
Listen, this is the Mox that I've needed this entire time. He punched through a brick wall. How is anybody gonna face this guy in the ring? One of those punches will just shatter your ribcage.
Mm-hmm.
He punched through a wall, and not just a regular wall. A prison wall.
That's right, because he has been imprisoned, according to this. So there's all the story they're trying to tell is he's broken out of the prison that he's been in. I mean, the one thing that I think is told here by the grabbing of the barbed wire and the blood that's coming off his hand is this is a guy that, I mean, I'm sure you've watched old videotape of what the John Moxley character used to do. He's a crazy man.
Yes.
And it's nothing really that we've seen in WWE. And for some reason, I guess this guy wants to return to doing this style of matches.
Hey, man, if that's what you like, that's what you like. Oh, I've had this conversation a few times this week, and people are like, why would you want to do that? Aren't you in a place now when you're in WWE where you can breathe a little bit and you don't have to do that? And my thing is, maybe that's what he likes and maybe that's what he wants to do. And I'm willing to give this a chance because if that's what he wants to do, and if not to be weird about it, but if that is the art that is within this man, then let him do it, and maybe it's going to be fantastic.
I guess it could. I just don't, like, I remember when I was getting back into wrestling, like, I had this weird gap in, like, the lean years of, like, you know, Razor Ramon and Diesel. I didn't like those years. I kind of faded off, but I came back, and when I came back to it, you know, I watched some of the Mick Foley death matches from Japan. I was like, whoa, what's this? It's so different. It's so new. And then ECW came about, and you saw the craziness that happened there. To me, Ambrose doing this in 2019 is like, what are you doing, man? Like, I don't want this. Do people still want this?
I'm not sure that I want this.
I don't.
But I'm willing to give it a chance.
Okay.
And I'm going to put this out there that I think that this man will be my favorite wrestler of 2019.
Really?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, that's a big change.
I mean, you never know, but probably not.
So, I mean, is we've spent a lot of time when we've been doing podcasts about chatting about the possibility of a game changer for AEW. And I think Jericho was definitely that due to his mainstream exposure. He is someone that they needed. He is a pillar that can grant them a little bit more mainstream exposure as opposed to, you know, Cody and the Bucks are great, and Kenny. And Kenny's great as well, but that is a certain hardcore fan. Jericho can go beyond that. Ambrose, no. You know what? I'm going to say it right now. There's nothing more, you know, if everyone's, oh, he's got to go to AEW. He's a good hand. True. I don't see him as much more than that. I don't see him as anyone breaking into the mainstream and getting them that promo that they need.
Right. See, all bits aside about Mox, the thing is that style of wrestling doesn't really do it for me. Even at All In, when they had that one sort of the Cracker Barrel street fight kind of match, it wasn't, that was the match for me that I was like, and I like Hangman Page, but that's not what I'm looking for anymore in wrestling. But I get it. If that's the kind of stuff that they want to include in their product,
right,
to have as many things as they can throw against the wall, then, I mean, yeah, I mean, sure, give it a shot. Because I guess there are some people that are still excited by that.
Well, I mean, I think the part of the goal is to do something for everyone with All In, and you're going to get some top quality matches in there. You're going to get some old school matches. If you remember back to All In, so I meant All Elite earlier, but if you remember back to All In, that match with Cody and Nick Aldis was very much an old school NWA title match. I thought it was great, and I thought it was refreshing, and, you know, in retrospect, hindsight's 2020, but to me, that's my main event on that card.
Right, yeah. A lot of people have said that. I just wonder if that had gone last, if it would have had the same reaction.
Well, it would have been shorter.
It would
because there was no choice at a certain point on that card,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that. I mean, like, talk about superstars and people who would be a difference maker or a game changer. I feel like that is Okada. You know what I mean? Like, that's Okada. Having seen him live a couple of times now, the guy, when he walks into the room, you just know. You just know, and it's, there is a feeling in the air that is different than any other performer that I've seen. He just comes in and you just know this guy's.
Yeah, but how is that different than, as far as the audience that will be attracted by that, how is that different than Omega? Because to me, Okada does not bring a different audience to this that has not already found it.
That's true. You're right.
So I mean, and not that we're saying that Okada is making his way there or anything like that.
No,
don't
no,
misconstrue
no, no.
that. We
no,
were
no,
just
no.
using that as an example. So don't let the rumor mill go wild in regards to, oh, we've reported this. No.
I've reported it.
Yes, Mark Andrade has reported it. All right, so that happened this week. Along with that, a few things I wanted to touch on. Bill Goldberg, here's someone that, you know, we had talked about, you know, perhaps being a free agent, even though recently he had made his appearances in WWE. He returns to take part in Saudi Arabia. This surprises me because going over to Saudi Arabia is so controversial in itself, in just WWE having dealings there and taking the, you know, the blood money, the oil money that's coming out of there. Bill Goldberg doesn't need money. Why is Goldberg taking this money from WWE?
Yeah, but how much money is
it? Well, it's got to be an incredible amount.
At some point, like, you could say he doesn't need money,
yeah,
but at some point when somebody offers you a ridiculous amount of money, don't you just go, yeah, I don't really have any stake in these politics, or I don't know anything about these politics. And I'm not saying that Goldberg does or doesn't. I have no idea. Don't know the guy. But if it were me and I had no idea really about what was going on, I would just be like, oh, thank you for all of this money. Absolutely, I'll come. I may not need it, but it's so much that you're going to add that much to my bank, then why not?
Do you see this as WWE looking at this money that they're able to get their hands on and putting Goldberg back into their ring, and maybe if there's some undersigned agreement, just to basically keep him away from this rival organization starting?
Maybe, but also I think it's possible that it's the Saudi prince just making a request.
I can see that as well.
Because he's a big, like, 90s wrestling fan, right?
There's no, I mean, look at what we've seen from this already. We've seen Undertaker, Kane, Shawn Michaels, etc. So it was a matter of, to use Goldberg's own statement of, you know, who's next? And it turns out it was Goldberg that he wanted, and here you go. Here you go, Prince, you're getting Goldberg now.
Yeah, and I think that if it turns out that he, you know, that works out that way for WWE, then great, but I really think it was just a request. That's my suspicion anyway.
I would also not be surprised, though, with Goldberg finding his way back into the WWE fold, that he makes some TV appearances. Because if we look back at the success Goldberg had the last time he was on, he did bump up WWE ratings. There is still that nostalgia. And right now, as we talked about in the news pack, WWE ratings are not at an all-time low, but have dropped significantly. Like that SmackDown number that we talked about, a 25% drop from this time last year. That's extreme.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's really bad. So Goldberg, it brings about at least some excitement, and you're getting by on novelty, but they need something.
Sure, and yeah, he might pop the rating for a week or two, but again, it goes back to their main problem of telling a good story.
There isn't. Yeah, telling not even
a good story, a coherent story. It doesn't even have to be good or particularly engaging, I don't think, at this point. I think it just needs to make sense.
Yeah, and that hasn't happened. I mean, I talked in length about... this is on the recent podcast that we're now doing, the Midweek Markout podcast, and both of the patrons who are participating echoed the sentiment of, we as fans of WWE, just cutting out all of the wrestling, but as WWE fans are expected to watch at least, 5 hours a week, and what's the return on our time investment? There's nothing there. There's no reward. There's no light at the end of the tunnel, in which there used to be, when you could watch a feud play out and then watch a pay-per-view and have that reward, have that completion. It's like, I mean, we've done the comparison to the Avengers when, you went and saw Endgame. Well, you got it. A crazy reward at the end of that. You got a nice completion of the story.
But you also got rewards all along the road.
True.
Every movie was its own reward, almost. I mean, Iron Man 3 is questionable,
okay.
But but even Iron Man 3 wasn't an awful movie by any stretch of the imagination. It just maybe wasn't the best one.
Right. It's going to have up and down, but there's long-term planning there.
You can't even watch one episode of any of these programs without being like, what's happening? What's happened from the first hour to the third? What happened here?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that could be something going on behind the scenes as well with all these script changing, right up to when these guys are going on television and during the show at some points, apparently.
You know what I want? I want whoever gets that script supervisor, the continuity.
Yeah, yeah,
editor,
the continuity post.
Whoever gets that job, I want them to just blog about it every day. I had a friend who directed a show in Chicago, and he put a blog post every day about what it was like to direct this show so that people knew what it was like to be a director and what it was like to work for this company. I want somebody to do that for this job at the WWE.
Just have a burner Twitter account,
yeah.
That just shows up and all of a sudden people catch wind of it and it just keeps going.
Oh, I would love it. I'm so curious to know what's going on back there.
A lot of stories this week about Brock Lesnar as well. This is where Dana White claimed that he was retired. I personally did not believe this initially, Mark. I just thought it was, a point of negotiation. A lot of things that you hear with Dana White are, well, Dana's saying that to put public pressure on whomever he is negotiating with. But then all of a sudden, when Cormier signs against Stipe, the UFC model has changed so much in regards to ESPN now controlling the pay-per-view. I do think Brock Lesnar is retired from MMA now, will not be fighting anymore. And now there's also this report out that Lesnar is looking to call it quits from WWE come WrestleMania 36.
Well, I mean, talk about a guy who doesn't need any money.
And doesn't care.
And doesn't care, which
That's
I
the
love.
Main thing.
Yeah.
I think he does. Not only does he not care about the money, but I don't think he cares about the pop. And I think addiction to the pop sometimes is more than dollar signs. It means more to people. That's what keeps him coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. And if he doesn't need either of those, then, I mean, then what's he doing? Then why show up at all?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where we're at, that he just plans on one more year with WWE and then just going home and hunting deer or whatever it is that he does.
That's what he does. He comes up to Canada. I think he's living up in Saskatchewan now and just goes hunting all the time.
That's unreal.
Tries to avoid diverticulitis.
I like to imagine him just breaking deer's necks with his bare hands. You know what I mean? He hunts them barehanded. That's what he does.
That's Lesnar style of hunting.
Yeah.
We're not saying that this is going to be a thing, because as much as I think Lesnar is done with UFC, WrestleMania 36, there's going to be some sort of stake put in the ground, and then WrestleMania 38, comes about, and all of a sudden they need him, and he's going to do a match. Like, I think it's going to be one of those type of things with Lesnar, more so on the way we've seen The Undertaker.
Right.
You know, even less than what he's doing now, but that special attraction that will still exist when Brock pops up.
Okay, hear me out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking at the Stipe versus Cormier fight.
Man. Yeah.
Brock Lesnar jumps into the octagon, does a run in, gives a Superman punch to Cormier, and then leaves, and that sets up WrestleMania 36, 37, who knows?
Cormier in the wrestling ring?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is my theory.
I don't know about that because we've already seen that confrontation in UFC.
I love that you're answering this seriously.
I am going to answer this seriously. No, but I mean, with Lesnar, if you are looking towards 36, and if that is the case, let's play Fantasy Booker.
Sure.
Who is, if at least for that stake, before he comes back again, which I think that he will, who gets that stake? Who gets to be the guy who takes down the guy at WrestleMania that took down the streak?
Yeah, who's left? Does Undertaker get his win back?
Oh, God. Oh, my. Could you imagine?
Yes, I could.
Me too. That's the saddest part of it all. Let's throw that out there for you. If you want to send in your tweets, go ahead. It's at SNME Radio. At 36, who is that guy who we say goodbye to Brock Lesnar to? Go ahead, send in your tweets. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back, continue on chatting more about AEW, actually. In our next segment, we're going to be joined by Joe Aguinaldo, who has joined us on the Sunday Night's Main Event team. He is doing the All Elite Weekly podcast. So we'll get into AEW and what to expect out of them. And might we see Ambrose there? We'll talk about it next. It's Sunday Night's Main Event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mud. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
And this notion of brother versus brother, of natural versus nightmare, it's all very marketable, it's all very romantic, albeit not very accurate. What's accurate is that this match is generation versus generation. I am not here to kill Dustin Rhodes. I'm here to kill the Attitude Era.
It is Sunday Night's Main Event. Welcome back. In studio this week, of course, is Mark Andrada. We have already been chatting a bit about All Elite Wrestling, which is one of the hot topics that everyone's talking about. But now welcoming to the show one of our new patron podcasters. He does a show which, well, we won't use the nickname. We'll use the professional name for the show, at least on the broadcast. All Elite Weekly with Dan Lavransky. Joe Aguinaldo, welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Thanks for having me.
So, Joe, I wanted to just have you on this week to chat about, you know, All Elite Wrestling. And you're such an old school fan. We've known you for many years. Oh, why is this product so interesting to someone who has, you know, who looks at wrestling like you do?
It's funny because even though I have been, you know, an old school fan and a fan for a long time, I'm still a fan of pro wrestling anyways. You know, some of the stuff these days, there's a lot of work rate going on. There's a lot of, you know, gaga, as they say, going on. But I find with All Elite Wrestling, you know, they seem to be catering to a wide range of fans. You know, so you've certainly got, you know, your Young Bucks, but then you got your Jerichos and your JRs. And, you know, that really appeals to me. And what I also really like, at least what I'm seeing so far anyways, about AEW is the fact that, you know, this is a company that has some resources behind it. And, you know, there's a buzz about this company that I have not seen in a very long time. And, you know, we're not talking about AEW like, Actually, let me reverse that. We're not talking about ROH and Impact and even New Japan like we're talking about All Elite Wrestling. So
right.
This has just been really fascinating to me. And you know what? At the end of the day, I'm a wrestling fan.
One of the people that you mentioned there, well, I mean, you mentioned New Japan and you mentioned Jericho. Obviously, that was a huge signing for AEW. Got all the buzz around it originally when these guys announced their promotion. But just yesterday, you know, we saw Jericho in the video challenging Okada at Dominion on June 9th. That's a couple weeks after Double or Nothing. Do you think because AEW's pushed themselves as a more sporting feel, is it weird to have Jericho looking beyond Omega?
You know what, like, maybe, but at the same time, just, like, from what I've, like, I remember, you know, Jericho, during one of his podcasts, actually, said a while ago that, you know, he wasn't necessarily exclusive to AEW,
right.
That, like, part of it was that they were going to work, he was going to be able to work New Japan, so I wasn't entirely surprised when I saw that. I was kind of like, wait a sec, oh, yeah, right, he's not exclusive. Now, that said, though, yeah, like, I kind of wonder, with it being so close after, Double or Nothing,
right.
Part of me was like, maybe the timing wasn't the greatest on this. But I don't think it hurts AEW. At least I don't think it will. But at the same time, I did think the timing might have been a little better. Like they could have done that a little better. But again, I think that it is what it is, unfortunately, but I don't think this hurts All Elite Wrestling.
You know, I love a conspiracy theory, though, and here's the thing. isn't there a possibility that these angles are tied together, like that these matches end up tied together somehow? I mean, apparently New Japan did not appreciate what happened at Madison Square Garden just recently, so is it possible that they say, oh, well, we just weren't paying attention, or didn't know what AEW was going to do, the same way we didn't know what you were going to do, ROH, when Enzo and Cass hopped a railing.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up. So, Joe, I'm not sure if you're aware, but Mark was there live for that show at Madison Square Garden for Ring of Honor.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
And, Mark, you were saying that, you know, the crowd was really hot for anything that involved New Japan, but it did not feel the same way about Ring of Honor, correct?
No, and it was a violent difference. Like,
right.
It went from people being very excited to people not being into it at all. Like it was a big difference.
I can somewhat attest to that from the TV side, because like we watched it,
mm-hmm.
Dan and I, and we covered it, and so like, I mean, when, for example, a guy like Minoru Suzuki is getting a bigger pop than some of your top ROH guys, that's probably not a good thing. But yeah, you could tell even on TV that the New Japan like wrestlers were getting, you know, way more love from the New York crowd than the Ring of Honor guys were. Yeah.
So the conspiracy theory that Mark is bringing up is that, I mean, listen, right now, Ring of Honor and New Japan still seem to be partners. But of course, there are so many ties between AEW, guys like Jericho and Omega, and New Japan, especially coming off, you know, with this Jericho and Okada angle now finding its way through. Now, we also saw just this weekend, Joe, Jericho and Omega appearing on Southern Honor Wrestling on Friday night. And the Bucks have shown up on some indie shows as well. You know, looking at what you said earlier, Joe, about how we're speaking of All Elite and talking about their potential TV contracts and all the hype that is around them, do you think it benefits them to be popping up on these indie shows, or does that downgrade the status that they have?
You know, at this point, I think they're okay to do that because, you know, I mean, that's sort of the let's forget All Elite Wrestling, for example. Like, that's just sort of the, you know, based on the Young Bucks and Cody and those guys. That was the mentality, and that's how they kind of grew the brand. But I think as they become bigger and as they get that TV deal, I don't know if they can get away with that, you know, too many more times without, as you say, downgrading that brand. So I was okay for the most part when I saw that, the Southern Honor Wrestling thing. Like, I even saw some of that video. But at the same time, I was like, yeah, you can't do that when you guys are on TV. Because, you would never see the WWE, for example, do that, right? Like,
right.
Go to an indie show and, you know, like, they'll go to NXT, maybe. But even then, I think the perception of that is that, oh, you know, like, that's a step down if Sasha Banks, for example, goes to NXT, right? So, you know, when they get that TV deal, I don't know if they can get away with that, you know, too many more times.
Yeah, it's sort of the diminishing returns. Yeah.
Right? I think so. It's a bit of a holding pattern.
I think now, though, it makes them look like giants. You know,
yes,
it's like purposely putting a big guy next to a little guy. You know, you have these huge superstars walking into these tiny venues and people tearing their eyes out because they're so excited.
Well, and what I actually really appreciated about that, like that appearance, too, was that Cody announced the Dustin, I think the guy's name was Dustin Thomas, as part of the over-the-budget Battle Royal at Double or Nothing. And then, like, if for those of you who haven't heard about him, and I had only recently heard about him, he's like a double-leg amputee. He doesn't have legs. And he's going to be in a Battle Royal, you know, on pay-per-view. And I thought that was, like, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, take that, Zach Gallen.
You know, like, you know, and then apparently he dropped some guy's mom. So I thought that was pretty funny, too, that Cody would do that. But again, right now it's cool. Later on with big TV, I'd be a little careful about that.
Well, speaking of Cody and Dustin, Dustin.
Go for it.
Does it make sense to do the Cody versus his brother Dustin right away? Or, like, should do you think that this should have been built up somehow? And what's Dustin? What do you think Dustin's going to do after this?
So let me, for the sake of being completely transparent here, I was never a huge Dustin Rhodes fan. I know that's not
hang
a popular
up on
opinion.
Can you hang up on
but,
him?
So Dustin Rhodes or Goldust? Because I look at them as two completely different characters and different people. Did you not dig Goldust either, Joe?
I was not a fan of. I like Dustin Rhodes the natural more than I like Goldust, like the character. I know that again. That's
the minority right there. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But now that said, just to come back though, I really love the way that they've actually promoted this through the social media, the way that Cody and those guys use social media to they've been using it to promote this card. So I'm actually really okay with this match because they've put together two really good vignettes, specifically the Road to Double or Nothing 13 and 14, where I'm like, damn, that's some pretty good stuff going on here. So I'm very intrigued by this match, and I'm cool with, like, how they're doing it. And, like, you know what? They still have, two weeks to build a bit more, so... I'm very, very intrigued, very interested in how they're going to, continue building this through the Double or Nothing vignettes, if they continue doing that. But, yeah, I'm certainly interested in this match. And, yeah, what does Dustin do afterwards? Not sure because, I was pretty surprised when he said he was going to wrestle on Double or Nothing. So I'm like, all right, let's see where this goes. At this point, I don't know if I'd want to see him as a full-time person. But then again, the way they have, maybe it's the same type of deal with, like, where they have with Jericho, maybe a guy that comes in, every so often to, wrestle with one of the younger guys. I don't know. Because, again, I was pretty shocked about the Dustin Rhodes thing. I thought he was, like, done. So...
Well, it's funny you say that in regards to kind of, the senior guys that they have in, and Dustin would definitely be considered one. And when I did my interview with Kenny Omega, I was actually speaking to him off camera, and I was complimenting him on how great, AEW has done so far with all their promotion online and how they're building towards a TV deal. And he wouldn't tell me where they were going or what they were doing. But I mentioned, new faces, new stars. And he actually stopped me and he's like, well, you do have to look backwards sometimes. So he did let me know that there's something coming. I don't know if that was a hint to Dustin, because that hadn't been announced. I mean, this was a few months ago that I interviewed Kenny. Or what I presented, and I've also had this guy on the show, is DDP. I flat out asked DDP if he was going to be a part of this, considering he was in Cody's corner. I'm under belief that DDP might show up here and there, because they're good friends. They've done stuff together. And DDP was tight with Dusty. Joe, do you see value in anyone else? I know you got to be careful, and Paul Heyman has always said you got to be careful putting older guys into a young promotion, but is there anyone else lurking that you can see that there would be value towards in bringing into this brand as someone that gives you some history?
Wow. I know that this is sort of the popular opinion. People have mentioned, like, CM Punk, for example. There's that whole John Moxley thing that's going on right now.
We were going to go there next.
Yeah, so I'll avoid those two right now.
Okay.
Like, you know who I'd really like to see out there? And I saw, like, you know, someone kind of joked about this. A guy like Wade Barrett.
That's an interesting pickup to me, because I think that he had a really great potential. He turned around a terrible gimmick with Bad News Barrett to make people love it. And I just remember him walking out after Nexus, and he was in control of the Nexus, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yep. He walked out with that little rose on his shoulder on the black coat. The guy's got great presence.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, like, they're, like a guy like that who, you know, like, again, he was, like, you know, here's another guy I'll throw out there, just because, like, here, you know, talking about someone who was able to, you know, put over gimmicks that were not necessarily the best. I forgot his real name, but, like, it was Damian Sandow, guy like that guy.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
To me, there's so much tarnish as to what he's done in Impact. Did you watch any of his stuff in Impact?
Yeah, I know, and ooh. I know that's part of it, but, like, I loved his WWE work.
Me too.
You know, but yeah, like, I completely get what you're saying with the Impact stuff. But again, maybe not necessarily that guy, but a guy like that who, you know, has been able to, you know, sort of, you know, a guy that can work, but also a guy that knows how to do some of the character stuff, and that can maybe help, you know, teach the younger guys about that character stuff, you know. Let's say Wade Barrett, Stu Bennett, whatever we want to call him, that would probably be the guy on my list. That, you know, not a lot of people may be talking about.
Well, I'm going to leave this last question, throw it over to Mark here, because Mark has come up with the phrase of Dean Ambrose for certain people. So, Mark, you want to take this last one here?
Okay, sure. As a wrestling fan, do you think you saw the? I'm guessing you saw the video, the Mox video.
Yes.
So, do you see the Easter eggs that people are seeing in this?
I mean, I saw them. You know, even before people started mentioning the Easter eggs. I mean, some of them anyways.
So do you think he'll be a Double or Nothing, I think is what I'm getting at. Do you think he's going to show up there? Do you think he's going to be a surprise at Double or Nothing?
So I'm going to go, like, and I hate to do this because, you know, I know you guys want an answer. Let me say my personal opinion is, yes, he will be, if not a Double or Nothing, he'll be involved in AEW somehow, okay? That said, though, right, when you look at the video, right, the production value of that video is really, really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the only other company that could afford a production value like that, other than AEW, would be the WWE. So, as a swerve, part of me, like, you mentioned conspiracies and stuff. The conspiracy guy in my head was like, well, if Dean Ambrose is leaving, you know, would the WWE swerve everyone and be like, Dean Ambrose is leaving, but, you know, welcome John Moxley? So, like, there's also that. You know, I don't really think that'll happen, but that was something that went through my head too. But yes, I'd like to think that John Moxley will be part of like AEW, and Double or Nothing seems to be, you know, sort of the most obvious place for him to debut.
I like your conspiracy theories.
I love this. We're on late night radio here, late night AM radio. I feel like we're doing coast to coast all of a sudden with all of our conspiracy theories. It's like, all right, Art Bell, George Norrie, here we go. Joe, your first podcast is up already for patrons up on the site, and you and Mouth are back at it this week. Do you guys, because there hasn't been much movement, do you know what you're talking about this week on the show?
We're still sort of flirting with some ideas. I mean, we'll do, you know, a quick update of what we've heard, you know, so far. But, you know, one of the things that we might explore, we were looking at, was, like, just the whole way that, you know, like Cody and the Bucks and like AEW basically uses social media, you know, to push the product. I mean, I don't think that's something that, you know, a ton of people are talking about up here. And I think
Joe, you're going to have Dan Lavransky do a segment on social media. I can't wait for this.
I'm going to guess I'll probably be doing most of the talking. I'll just be Dan.
That's some heavy lifting, Joe, but I can't wait. That's going to be coming out this week on the Patreon. Joe Aguinaldo, welcome to the family, and I look forward to hearing more of you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, on that note, we are going to take a break. Lots more to come. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents,
Super Kick!
to classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mudd. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
He said as he was stepping on my head, he said that he was doing what he was doing for this. He said that he was coming for the WWE title. I say, let him come. And I say, we do it at Money in the Bank. Kofi Kingston versus Kevin Owens for the WWE Championship.
Make your banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend now. We could pretend it all the time.
Welcome back. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. That clip right there. Kofi Kingston this week on SmackDown, preparing for his match that is coming up at Money in the Bank with Kevin Owens. Mark Andrade is with me, hosting in studio this week. So, Mark, here's what I bring up to you. A fine, serious promo there by Kofi Kingston, which followed him coming down to the ring throwing pancakes out to the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Makes perfect sense. See, this is exactly, like, this is the thing that we've been talking about, is that we can't even stay consistent within the same show.
Within the same five-minute span?
I was just about to say that. You know what I mean? It's very easy. Just don't throw pancakes on the way
That's
down.
That's it. Look
very
serious.
Very easy to do. Yeah.
If anything, I think Bayley had more continuity with her coming out being rather disgruntled this week.
That is a horrifying statement.
Well, it's the truth, though.
The words Bayley had more continuity says so much about what's going on.
So if you look at what's happening here with Kofi Kingston and Kevin Owens, I mean, I like the turn of Kevin Owens in the New Day, and I could see it coming a mile away, and it didn't bother me. It might have happened a little bit early, but also, how long did Kevin Owens, if he's plotting, and if we're looking at this as he's doing this on purpose, how long does he want to hang out and chuck pancakes anyway?
Exactly, and that's the other thing, is that, maybe people are saying it happened too early, but I disagree. I think it could have happened even earlier, frankly. The second he's in, he just turns around and clocks him.
Right.
Like, as soon as he's, like, in the New Day. And that was the only thing that I kind of liked about that was how fast it happened. I didn't need to see this dragged out for weeks and weeks where we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being predictable. There's nothing wrong with... It's like, you know, we've talked about Endgame and no spoilers, but... Everybody knows what's going to happen in Endgame, right? There's no way that Black Panther and Spider-Man are really gone.
Yeah, well,
there's no way.
We knew that, and so much so that Marvel was even willing to release the trailer for Homecoming so that we all knew Spider-Man was coming back somehow, some way.
Right, and so you knew that it was going to happen. So it was predictable in that sense.
Yeah,
and I think that's great. Sometimes you want it to be predictable. You want it to be a moment where you know this is going to happen, and then it happens, and that's great. And I think the surprise was that it happened very quickly.
Which could have been, I would just say could have been done purposely, but let's face it, it wasn't, because the Kevin Owens character in itself was juggled up so badly from being the common man that was going to have all the regular problems of everybody and given the stunner, and then all of a sudden Daniel Bryan disappears. And this is the real challenge that came about with this storyline, is I am in firm belief that this was supposed to be a rematch between Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston at Money in the Bank, which would have made perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Daniel Bryan goes out with this mysterious injury. Say what you will, we all speculated upon the fact that it could very well be something to do with concussions, but they're not saying anything.
Right.
Daniel Bryan has been cleared. That has been made official. He has been cleared to return. Because he's coming back, can appear this Tuesday. Would you have him appear this Tuesday? And if so, what do you do?
No, leave well enough alone.
I agree.
There was all that confusion that happened with Kevin Owens pre-WrestleMania, which I'm still unclear about what happened, why he wasn't in that match.
Right.
I'm still sort of, what happened?
Because he was supposed to be
in the match.
Kofi caught fire.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not talking from a backstage perspective. I'm talking about the storyline. Why did he end up not in that match? I still got confused about it.
Okay.
But doing that again now? Oh, come on, please, just leave well enough alone. We've got something that's making sense right now. Just leave it and have Daniel Bryan come in afterwards.
Yeah, you can do this match and, you know, I'd leave the title on Kofi. It should not switch over here. And you know what? You could even have it to get out of having a clean finish. Daniel Bryan could interfere at the pay-per-view. If you're going to do something, your face told me you did not care for this.
I don't love it. I don't want him to do that. I don't want that. That's not what I want to happen. I mean, I guess it could happen and it could be good, but that's not what I would like to have happen.
What would you like to have happen?
I'd like Kofi to have a clean win.
Okay.
Clean win over Kevin Owens. I'd like to see Kofi Kingston JBL this belt.
Just hold on to it for a long time.
Just hold on to it like he's the guy that you thought never should have gotten it.
Right.
And never, I mean, not in a bad way, but like he was sort of that underdog. And then when he got it, he just kept holding it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd like to see. Whether or not that would work is another story altogether.
Yeah, but. I mean, the interesting thing about Kofi's character that I find is by doing the pancake thing, it feels mid-card.
Well, yeah, we got to lose the pancakes.
That's what I mean. I never liked the pancakes to begin with. I mean, I didn't mind the unicorn stuff. And what was the bootios? I was like, okay, sure.
Sure.
When they turned to the pancakes, I'm like, I still don't understand this.
I don't mind the pancakes.
I don't
the way
like
other
it.
People.
And if you're a champion, I really don't like it.
Right. But you know what I wouldn't mind is if the other two guys were throwing the pancakes and he walked out all serious in between them. You know what I mean? Like he was the Chuck D to their two Flavor Flaves.
Oh my goodness. what
is that
I
a reference?
I see it. Yeah. I see it. But along with that, that the one thing that could build from that nicely is some discontent between the three of them,
right.
As well. You know, like if he's, I kind of thought that happened, and I'm wondering if that didn't happen, if they didn't push forward in that direction again because of injury, because of Big E, and now Big E's not part of this mix either, which makes it tough on them because in their time as the New Day, they've never really been separate. They've been pretty good with injuries,
right? Yeah, they've been together the whole time.
So. We shall see how that proceeds along. I just hope that all of a sudden Daniel Bryan is back this week and they don't just go three-way.
Ugh.
There's no reason.
There's no reason, but you know, but that would be on brand for them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. 100%. We are tight for time. Done this hour. We are coming on back. Our second hour is still to come. We still got to get into really in-depth into Money in the Bank and those actual matches. And along with that, up next, you know what time it is. Dave Meltzer time, followed by Turnbuckle Trivia. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long.
If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, please surf on over to patreon.com/snmeradio. And for only $4 a month, you can get all of what we do at Sunday night's main event, meaning the weekly show, the uncut, unedited interviews, and bonus podcast content. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.